Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord see.
Yeah. Let the peace take from the
Fairly held for WVLN, Speedway Broadcast Corporation, or our participating sponsor.
From Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm trying. How y'all doing this morning? Woo! I tell you, I'm trying this morning to get through this morning, y'all. How y'all doing? I had a nice show lined up for y'all this morning, but I got to kind of detour a little bit. And I'm going to try and have, I got two people I'm going to try to have on for y'all this month. I'm going to try to bring the historian who wrote the curriculum for Florida. And he's not nobody to snub your nose at and see what he got to say. It might have been one line there, but that was really. So I'm going to try to, and I'm also get a young man who graduated from Harvard from jail and not going to law school. So we're talking to him, working on that. But that's, I had other stuff I had lined up that's very important to talk about, and I might try, but I'm so hurt. My heart is so heavy. You know, if all these folks around me keep dying, I don't know. But I know I'm a Christian. That's the only thing that keeps me together. I got a call. You know, they're having a black journalist, NBJR, whatever you call them, in Birmingham, Alabama, this weekend. And I got a call from a couple of the black journalists that Dr. Ogletree, Charles Ogletree, had passed. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was just working on my show and working on stuff that we really need to be talking about. But it kind of got me a little bit. because those of you who know me know how close I was to Ogletree. Ogletree worked with me so closely on the reparation. That ordinance I put, he went to court with me. He did everything. He sat with the Corporation Council with me when I went to court to fight the city selling the garage. When Daly was selling the garage to his friend, he was there. I'm going to try and get Dennis on. Dennis is sweet, Richfield, another lawyer, another unsung hero that y'all don't know, one of those black soldiers or one of them black people who work on your behalf. He's in Mississippi. He been treated with real close. In fact, when I went to jail for fighting for my aunt in the hospital, Jackson Hospital down there, Tree sent him to, so you better go down and take care of Dorothy. And that's how I got to be friends with Dennis. And if you heard him over the years, you heard him talking about he deal with the land. He deal with so much stuff. He's very well known. I mean, he deal with substance stuff. I know y'all love Crump, but this is a man that deals with stuff for black people for real. And I'm not saying Crump don't. The other thing is, Ogletree, and on some, I mean, a lot of folks know him. I was talking to one of the brothers as I was coming into the station, one of the security people. I said, Professor Ogletree passed. He said, well, who is that? And I don't blame him, because most of the time we don't know who our heroes are. I remember when, we like to, people posture on us, posture around us, and they advance themselves on us. I know everybody was talking about Tulsa last year and this year, but as we were fighting, I think for the survivors, and I'm part of that documentary, Before It's Too Late, Ogletree came in and said, Tillman. I said, what? He said, Tillman, I need you to come go to Tulsa with me. I said, for what, Ogletree? He said, I need you to help these people down there. They're giving up. I said, them folks ain't gonna give up. He said, just come give them a pep talk. And I went to Tulsa. I flew into Tulsa. And I met all, if you got my book, you'll see all the survivors in there. And I met all the survivors, but I talked to them, and it was really a real good conversation. They said it was a speech, but they loved it because he had told them who I was, and they really inspired me. But I told them, Professor Ogletree brought me out here to inspire y'all, but y'all inspired me. And they did. And if you came to any of my reparation conventions, you would have seen the survivors. They're in the book. We had the survivors to come along with Ogletree. We went to the Supreme Court. And I was looking last night. I need to test the door to take you about the beard. I'll get it later. Because where he filed with the Hague, with the crime against humanity. I got that lawsuit. I got to get it. But we filed also with the Supreme Court. When we went to Washington, I'll never forget that day. I spoke, it's in the record. But to the Black Caucus about supporting and fighting for the tussle, we asked them, you know, our people like to posture. And I went over to the Senate building, and I said, Barack, he said, yeah. I said, come on over here. For what? Because, you know, they have this little separation of the Senate and the Congress. The Senate's supposed to be so, you know. I said, you got to come make these people feel good. So, see, Barack is not familiar with our history. I mean, he might get away, and y'all think he is. I tried to tell him when I told him the story and what it was, and I said, and if you come over here with them, these people give them more strength to fight, and they'll have a few more days to fight. He said, okay, daughter. So I walked him over there to the congressional meeting where we were meeting at in the room with the Black Caucus. At first, I think the Black Caucus was shocked that he walked over there because there's a separation. But those survivors, they jumped up and hugged him, and they hugged him so much. And they just loved him, and they was giving him so much love and talking. He didn't understand totally the fight, but he understood the love. And they said to me, Alderman, You know, when I see him, I think about Senator Brooks. As long as we have one and they don't know who they are, he's in there fighting for us, and he's so happy to have him. But we fought for the Tulsa. I'm going to open it up later for you all to talk. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to try to get Dennis Sweet on the 7 o'clock hour. I guess Dr. Anderson know by now, because I didn't want to call him yesterday. Because those are people like our treasurer who really fought on behalf of black people. They took their talent and their skills and worked on behalf. I mean, Ochiltree, and I hope that Justin find one of his speeches on the Tulsa. Just something he said about Tulsa, something he said even about what we were doing. I'm in his last book. You know, he did a tribute. I thought we were going to do nope. And I appreciate that now. But when I think about people like him, Ochiltree had humble beginning. Folks didn't know that. You know, he's humble beginning. He came from some of them places that, from a, you know, a family who stuff he had to go through like some of our people go through today. And I think some nuns and so from some school got him up and helped him along his way. And he played football, you know. And I remember him telling me his proudest moment was when his father got a chance to see him at the Supreme Court, when he put that hat on, went to the Supreme Court, because his father was a black father during that time, you know, Rolling Stone, you know, do their little stuff. And then, you know, they had to move from place to play a lot of stuff. It's not anything he mind talking about, maybe, but I won't go too in deep. I'll wait till I talk to Pam later today. I'm sure she don't mind me talking about it, but he was one, and they really helped me play football, and that was those so-called white supremacists, y'all call them, you know, dealing with systemic racism. That's why I see you deal with people based off the content of their character. And they got him and helped him and got him play football, and they got him on and got him in school, and he's from Alabama, y'all. That's why I love him. But he ended up in California. I gotta remember the I'm gonna have Justin to find it for me. They ended up in out in California, but he's from Alabama. You know, Alabama's turned out some tough people, y'all. Alabama, Mississippi, all that red mud, they turned out people that will know how to give back and how to fight back and know it's not as selfish. And he went on, and you know, we was talk about how he had to study and all the people that helped him. Yeah, buddy, I miss you. But anyway, I remember he came down and we had a meeting. We was talking. He said, "Doc," I said, "What do you want, Tree? This is just something to make y'all laugh. Come on, take me to the blues club, Tree. I'm not taking you to no blues club. I'm going home and get some rest." He said, "No, I want to go listen to some music and I want to dance, blah, 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 blah." I said, "Okay, let's go." We went to Lee's Unleaded. I said, "What's going to happen?" He said, "Look, where I came from, you kill a rattler. I put hot sauce on a rattlesnake and eat it. I wish them suckers would cut in my face." That's how tough Ochiltree was, y'all. Y'all saw him as a little mild. He was really mild-mannered and nice. But when it came to fighting for our people, he would put hot sauce on a rattlesnake and eat it. I saw him do it when he was fighting with us for the reparation movement. I saw him do it in Washington when we had that meeting up there. You know, what makes me angry, I shouldn't say God forgive me for being angry, but what got me is that our people like to holler about what somebody have done and doing all this recreation and ceremonial stuff when somebody gone and they can't do nothing. But when they have an opportunity to do something, they don't do nothing. Because sitting in there, the black caucus could have pushed. They could have pushed for the Tulsa people to get their reparation as we was working on. But they didn't. When the black caucus and the black president and all those folks had all the people in the House and all the folks in the Senate, they could have done something for the Tulsa survivors. But they didn't. But they'll get out and make speeches and talk stuff, you know. The same way, here we got Dr. Anderson, this man fighting for the Freedman Bill. You know, God, I'm going to call him when I get home. I didn't want to call him last night. Here's another black man fighting to get the folks, the blacks from the Black Indian, the Freedman Bill, getting them to be repaired, because he taught me about the dial roll where they got a list of all of those black, of those Indians in the dial roll, and he was saying that there are black folks in there, and if you didn't, make sure you get in there. And we went to the black people and tried to get them. We went to try to get them to support us, to get there. They were scared. Our people are scared to fight for stuff that's relevant. They like to have ceremonial stuff, like what they did with Mrs. Till, Mamie Moe, Till, Emmett Till mama, as they did with Emmett Till at the church. Well, the city of Chicago, we had already done our stuff, but it's political feasible to make it national now that when Mrs. Mobley was around and we were trying to get help, when they can help, they want it. It's only when there's a ceremony. That's why I don't go to ceremonial stuff. I remember I said, Tree, he said, yeah, daughter. I said, I'm going to take, you think I'm going to be able to get Miss Mobley back in Mississippi? And I said, he said, well, you know, she said she didn't never want to go back. I'm going to work on it. And I worked very closely with Mrs. Mobley. Her family know I did. I spoke at her funeral. I got a lot of documents on Mrs. Mamie Mobley. And her family know, even if it was doing a documentary, they asked for none of that documentation. I took Mrs. Mamie Mobley back to Mississippi in the Alderman of the Third Ward of Jackson invited me and told me he would host us. I took her back. It was the first time she, and we went all around, and we had hearings and conversations, and we had people. If you look at my book, you'll see me pushing her. She's reading a sign on the place that we were going in, this building built by slaves. She said to the press, and the press said, ain't none of them wrote this, even though it's there. Cheetah and the Crusader did an extensive interview with her when we came back. And she told them that my taking her back to Mississippi and to confront all those folks and do all that stuff filled a hole in her heart. That will always be with me. And when I saw them folks at the ceremonial stuff over there the other day, it kind of touched me a little bit, because we have an opportunity to do what we have to do, but we have raised up a group that's so darn scared they only do ceremonial stuff. Like when Dr. Anderson passed, God rest his soul, he lived a long time, you'll see that ceremonial stuff. You can hear a lot of stuff talking about Tree. But Tree had Alzheimer's, it popped up on him out of nowhere over the last few years. And that's all he fought for. He fought hard for the Tulsa. And I remember we was in court in Tulsa. He said, I want you to go to court. I want you to be out there with these. Wherever Tree asked me to come, I would go. He was a fighter, and I fought with him because he fought with me. And I remember the judge said, it was time it ran out. What do you mean? Because they should have filed when the Civil Rights Bill was passed. We had John Hope Franklin on the speakerphone so he could testify. And the judge told John Hope Franklin, you can tell by your book, y'all all right. They used John Hope Franklin's book to say that Tulsa people had made it out all right. I said, y'all know all that stuff. And that's when I began to fight for Tulsa, is when I really, John Rogers became a good friend of mine, because his family was some of the ones who got destroyed in Tulsa. And I think it was his grandfather, one of the lawyers setting up the tent trying to help people get their stuff anyway. And I learned a lot, and a lot of folks had ran away from Tulsa. We're going to finally drop the bomb of us. I'm going to make sure I play that today, too. A lot of folks ran from Tulsa and were scared. These people were scared to tell folks they was from there. They fled. And the real story of Tulsa is not being told. But Ogletree was making sure that it got told, and he fought. That man fought for the Tulsa survivors until he got sick, when he got Alzheimer's. And that's when he stopped I used to play football, but I told Pam's wife, I don't know about this. This came on this man too fast. But I don't know, Professor Ogletree, a black man, you know, when I talked to y'all last week and I was reading all these different organizations that the Latina and the Asian community have, I did it for a purpose. Because how many lawyers do we have like Ogletree that's going to give it all for black people and don't charge no money and help get other lawyers to come, Ajawa and all them folks to come help us do that? How many black folks doing stuff like that? Lou Myers is also one of the attorneys with Ogletree on that. So both of them, you know, my brothers are gone. They fought hard with me too and made it possible for me to pass that ordinance that's sitting down there in City Hall to steal a law. But black folks talk reparations, but they won't touch that law, because to touch that law means they got to touch some of these corporations that's giving them money. Or they got to fight for something that's tangible. They know they won't fluff to live off what we've done, our glory. But they don't want to fight. It's all right about what they did with the church over there. But we had already did a plaque and some stuff, but it's all right. But it's symbolic. You know, his cousin was there. Yeah, he was in the room with Emmett Till when they took him, and he'll tell you in a minute, he didn't do nothing. He was scared. He just covered his head up. You know, Emmett Till was down there in the bed. He was with his cousin when them folks pulled him out of there. You know, I thought to whoop him and bring him back. But understand, but they go because it's election time and put a plaque, oh, Miss Noby was a brave woman. Of course she was. Nobody said, Miss Mobley, I will take you back to Mississippi. We're going to confront this stuff. Power began with the we, so I said, we did it myself and the Lord. And we took Miss Mobley back. And I have that whole, I documented it all. And we went around Mississippi. And we had meetings with people and hearing from people. And one of my security, Boom, and asked me, said, oh, they call you and doing that film? I said, no. Why? He said, because I don't see how they can do it. And I was the first one to introduce his daddy. I told a whole life story. And I got a board that I do education on about Miss Bowley. I got pictures she gave me that you might not have seen. Maybe they're using them now. But why am I saying this? Because everybody down there knocking each other down to get pictures, to get a plaque put on the wall so that Miss Mobley can be used for some political mess. These folks like to do ceremonial stuff with us, not anything that makes sense. You got Kamala, got y'all all upset right now about some black history when she don't know nothing about our history. She got Indian history. But I'm going to have the guy on. Because I understand the history book is fine without, except one or two things is in there. I'm not no fan of DeSantis, don't get me wrong. But we have to be careful about losing our moral authority. You must stay with truth, because if you don't stay with truth, you lose the moral authority. You can't take sides, I don't care who it is, mother, brother, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. You have to have the moral authority with truth. Dr. King taught us to never lose the moral authority. But when you start lying and taking sides and letting folks lead you like you're losing that moral authority. And what does that mean? Where are you getting your guidance from if you're losing your moral authority? And what has happened is they made black people and black leaders lose their moral authority because we feel like we got to have a side and we got to speak a word and all that and not tell the truth. And when I told y'all last week, these different organizations, they got the Lawyers Association, Black Lawyers and Black Clinics. When they had the law clinics, they had law clinics. Most of them law clinics, white lawyers helping up in Uptown and stuff in Chicago. Our folks get out of law school, a lot of them say, well, you know, they think they made it on their own. You think then the black lawyers gonna set up a law clinic for black people, huh? Look, I named all these different organizations these people had, and we have gone further. We have more now than we had when we was fighting during the Jim Crow era. These folks ain't selling them nothing. Pam was a beautiful person. Oh, is a beautiful person. That's Autry's wife. She was a very active member of the National Black Social Workers Association, and she fought hard for black children. So what bothers me, and I told y'all, this really hit home this morning because I wasn't ready for this. And you got to remember, as these people die around me, I have to really be thinking. You know, I look at all the folks who fought for black people unselfishly, gave it all, so those of you who are enjoying the benefits, as they exit this earth, then what happened to our future? I'm not going to be all the time. I think about my own mortality even more so now. What's going to happen to our children? I've been pleading. Okay, you had a group of non-folks took over the tree and helped him. And then we got children. They can't read and they can't write. And we letting folks tell us that they got just put in the stuff for the sex bill, just put in this. And nobody cares about the mind of a black child. Because if you did, ain't no way in hell you would allow these schools to funk our children. But the Ogletrees of the world and all those folks cared and they put their life on the line for our children. Lerone Bennett. You know, he put me in his last book, Before the Mayflower Millennium Version. That's anger. He said he brought the book by and gave it to me. And he was always worried about what was going to happen with me. And I said, I'll be all right. He said, daughter, you're unbought on these. They can't buy you, and you really fight for black people. You know, and he left it worrying about me. The last thing, I think the last appearance he had was at DuSau, but that's when the Alzheimer's kind of getting to him a bit. And I went to see him, and he said, Dorothy Tillman's in the audience. And he began to talk about some of these struggles. Why do you struggle, Dorothy Wright Tillman? Because my leader died at a young age. He gave it all. He gave up the ghost. Jane Orange and Leon and all the people that you don't even know, and I don't know, who gave it all. And all y'all can do is be sellouts. Oh, I hate Trump. I hate Biden. I got this. I got that. You ain't got nothing because they're taking your land. That's one of the things that Sweet was fighting for, the land in Mississippi, black folk. They're taking your land even here. Here you got robins this morning. I wake up, they got to boil water. Hey, state reps, you go down there and tell Prichter why he's giving them illegals all that money. Why has Robin got to be begging for money to fix their water? Okay, all right, Mr. Federal Government, you got money to help stuff. Why do Robin have to be begging to try to fix their water? I'm saying, it's like we got to be told what to do. How in the hell can illegals come in here, get millions of dollars for whatever they want, and you can't give money to Robin to fix their water? You can't do that. Because they keep us in a begging position, like we don't have a right to stuff. And that's why people like Ogletree and people like Dr. Anderson and Sweet and folks y'all don't know. We don't have to beg. We built something that everybody's coming to take and making you a beggar. Like Dr. Anderson said by the year 2013 that we was going to be a fourth class, right? They came to something that was already structured and put and then made you hate it and made you decide to tear it down, destroy it, hate it, don't help take care of this. This is our country, a house, a family, everything, an organization, a community, anything needs someone to be a caretaker of it. And then, look, I looked at the TV. And all them folks in New York size the ride, sitting out there, and they tell me, oh, they stink, they everything. And they tell most of the folks out there now are from Senegal and Mauritania, and most of them from Africa. So I'm saying to myself, you got the non-government organization that went and got all them brown people that came from everywhere, and them white folks, Where you black folks, you ookabookas, I call y'all, is so in love with Africa. Why ain't y'all over there in New York trying to see what's going on with the Africans and all them black folks in New York? They got standing in the city, having someone on TV talking about, well, they urinate on themselves, they doing this, and now they say they're going to put them in Rutgers Island. And then talking about they're going to send them back. That's all I'm trying to tell y'all. You want to celebrate somebody who's dead because it don't take no courage to fight over who's going to cut the ribbon. When everybody was running to be part of Ms. Mamie's documentary, you in that note? You going to call a note? Why should I call it? Because it doesn't matter to me. What mattered is that I carried her back to Mississippi. The same way with Ochiltree. Oh, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. I can't hardly wait till the Black Caucus get a ceremony to him on the floor and introduce something to go down in Congress and all that other stuff, and we couldn't get these suckers to fight with us for the Tulsa people to have their rights. Maxine Waters went to the courts with us. Maxine Waters fought with us. Maxine Waters did it with both Tulsa and with Dr. Anderson when he was doing the Freedmen. Oh, yes, and I feel proud to have been at the Supreme Court with those Tulsa people fighting. But we had enough power in this country that we could have made it happen. Don't bring me no junk about, oh, Tulsa, oh, Juneteenth, oh, this, all that ceremonial mess is not helping our community. You being ceremonial, and this community is going down. Our children can't read. They can't write. Oh, they ain't got nothing in their community. No, they don't have nothing in their community. They got factories for failure, schools in their community. And then I read where they got the folks who done came here from Venezuela, there are places they done destroyed over there, all these other places. Now I got the children playing soccer to protect them and make sure they feel all right. What about our children? Then somebody trying to get mad, they shouldn't be at no damn police station. That make us, that you can't protect us, and you got folks laying all around. That should be off limits. Move them suckers. The only reason they moved them from 18th Street was because of Lollapalooza. Move them up at the First Street and everywhere else. This ceremonial stuff, I'm sick of it. As I see our people be worse off than we've ever been. I have so much stuff ready for y'all this morning, but it shocked me I had to change because of Ochiltree. You know, that's why I had to change, because I'm hurt. And I had this whole thing about what they're spending and what they're doing and why y'all sitting back scared or waiting for y'all so y'all can talk about Trump or talk about Biden, but you can't talk about what your own people. You know you're sitting up here. And I don't need nobody to call me. You're the Republican. You said don't call me with that mess. You know, y'all hide behind them. See, there are folks who talk and don't mobilize. And there are folks who take stuff and they mobilize. You know, and you take the side, you lose the moral authority if somebody's doing wrong and you join. I got to take a break, y'all. I got to do something, I think. Do I have to? If you, 30 seconds, Dorothy Wright Till, I'm going to come back, take a few calls. I'm going to try to get Dennis to make sure I have my 7 o'clock, y'all. And when I come, I don't know which clock I'm looking at. This one? Okay. I'm going to take a real short break because this one got some mess up here. Okay, I got 3 clocks, y'all. I'm a little upset this morning. I don't even know whether I can go to Tree Soon. I kind of don't know. Talk of Chicago, 690 VN, 773-591-690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and you can get us on Blog Talk. If you miss us, you can do that. We miss the friend, y'all. Get your coffee, get your tea, and I'm going to be gone for 30 seconds, I think he said. 2 minutes, and I'm going to be back and talk to you. Hey, Ochiltree boy, my God, enjoying ancestors. I'll be right back, y'all.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
MC Light for AARP. Hip-hop, the cultural phenomenon that took New York by storm in 1973, is celebrating 50 years of rocking mics and crowds. Whether you're a ride-or-die hip-hop head or simply curious about its origins, check out the latest issue of AARP the Magazine. It celebrates this incredible milestone with a featured story brimming with fun hip-hop facts and history. Head over to aarp.org/blackcommunity to learn more.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who go above and beyond to help it thrive. During the 50th anniversary of hip-hop and the 75th anniversary of Black Radio, AARP recognizes the members, volunteers, people, and partners giving back to our communities. We believe when our efforts drive change for the greater good, we all thrive together. To learn more about how AARP supports efforts to keep our communities thriving, visit aarp.org/blackcommunity.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's SkyRizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With SkyRizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and SkyRizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
It's your gospel sister, Pam Morris-Walton. Join me every Sunday on God's favorite radio station, WVON, 11 to 2 p.m. with good gospel and inspirational music. It'll make your day. That's your gospel sister, Pam Morris-Walton. Sundays, 11 to 2 p.m. on 1690, The Talk of Chicago, WVON.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Really gonna miss you. It's really gonna be different without you. Time is gonna be hard and slow. For the rest of my life, I'm gonna be thinking about you. Yes, I am. Time came when you had to go. There's a higher power that we answer to, and you heard him calling your name. Really gonna miss you, everything about you, your smiling face.
Keep singing this song. another one of our warriors gone. You wasn't ceremonious. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. I'm going to have dinner sweet. Be able to come on at 7 o'clock hour. We talk about our buddy. And y'all get a chance to talk to dinner. I can't keep singing these songs, y'all. It's killing me. B-O-N, talking Chicago, 69 F-B-O-N. 773-591-67, streaming live, streamingup.com. We're on High Heart Radio. You take it wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk. I'm coming back, y'all. I'm coming back and try to take a few calls before I take a break. Then I'm really hurt. I can't keep taking this. Sterling, good morning. Good morning, Sterling. Going once, going twice.
Oh, yeah, no, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Mrs. Dorothy Wright Tillman. God bless you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, God.
So the reason I'm calling, I mean, you're you in the traditional, you're both freedom fighters. I mean, you've been out there for decades. I remember, you know, when your kids were at Mollison and you went to jail fighting for them. And like you, my kids all went to the public schools. So the reason I'm calling, my boys went from Chicago public schools to Harvard Law School at the same time.
Yeah.
It can be done. It can be done.
Yes, thank you.
So what happened is a lot of stuff that people did not know is that, like, he had a private residence on Martha's Vineyard, just like the Obamas. So when the young law students would show up out there, he would invite them. In other words, Cambridge, Massachusetts, it can be a cold place, you know, in person.
But Ogletree was a great
person.
So
he would give them a warm, and, you know, you're going to be warm and fuzzy here. And he was
always
there
with them.
Yeah, Charles Ogletree.
Yeah.
He has a residence on Martha's Vineyard, just like
this. Yeah, I went to his vineyard. Uh-huh. He was something. Look, I know, and I'm going to have to take one more call. Yeah, he was like that, and I'm going to have a brother on who just graduated from Harvard, from jail to Harvard, and I'm going to law school. Thank you, Sterling. I'm going to try to – not now. I'm going to have Dennis Sweet, one of his best friends, on at 7 o'clock. He's an attorney from Mississippi.
And you brought him to the Harold Washington Center. I was there, and he remembered me and my boys. You brought him the lecture series. Yeah, I sure did.
And
Right on King's Drive.
Yes, and I had brought him to Chicago to help me fight for reparations, and I helped him with the Tulsa. I'm so hurt. I'm hurt, Darren. I'm going to try to make this show.
Tulsa people, sometime he said that gap, bam, you dropped a bomb on me was a reference to what happened in Tulsa.
It was. Thank you, Sterling. I'm about to go because I'm about to cry. I got to go, okay? Thank
God
you.
Bless.
I'm going to try to take a couple. I'm going to try. How many minutes? I'm going to try to. I hate to rush y'all, huh? I got 3 minutes, so I'm going to give each person a minute. Tony. Tony, going once, going twice.
Hello. Good morning. Peace and blessings to you and all of your loved ones.
Thank you.
Well, we don't have to despair, but may God bless Attorney Ogletree, and peace and blessings to all the members of his descendants. But we still have warriors out here that's fighting in the same tradition that he did, such as Attorney Ben Crump and that astounding victory that he just had.
Yeah, but I'm talking about something different here, Tony. I love you dearly.
No, it's the same.
I know
we
got them, but
my people fighting for our freedom.
Yeah, I got you,
freedom
Tony.
Fighters.
Thank you, Tony. I know what you mean. Thank you. Crump do his piece when somebody get killed. I'm talking, and I'm not trying to knock that, but we got folks on. I understand, Tony. Please, I wasn't trying to disrespect you. I was just trying to get you. Mama D.
Hallelujah. Greetings to you.
Thank you, Mama
D. Emmett died on my 10th birthday, and I think we are psychically connected because when it comes to Emmett Till Road, the Emmett Till Memorial Bridge, renaming McCarsh to Emmett Till, and Roberts Temple that got landmark status in 2005 when you were the alder person.
Right, we did.
And I have all the photos.
And now they're doing some ceremony and mess for some election. Mama D, I might have to put you on hold if you want to until after the break because I think.
Let me put you on hold.
You got 30. You got 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds in.
She was backballed for 30 years.
Yes, she was.
So I'd like to be on hold to say a few more words if you don't
mind. I'm coming back with a guest about Ogletree. Okay.
Okay.
We could talk about Mama next week. You can call in. We'll have more longer talk, okay?
Yeah, or maybe you could have me as your guest because
we'll see.
For 30 years.
We'll talk about it.
I
got to go. He's rushing me. I want to get one more call. Can I get one more before I go? I'm trying to empty my board before I get off. Lisa, I'm trying to empty it before I go. I'm about to go in a second. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
oh,
I can hear
you. I just wanted to make reference to what you were talking about, the people, those illegal people who are committing crimes staying at the police station. You have all these people staying under bridges and stuff. Let them go to the police station. They're going to go to jail.
Yes, they will, and it's so wrong.
They're going to go to jail, and they made all of these places for them to live. Did you know they were staying at the airport?
They dumped them out of there, and they folks were hollering about it. I got to go at 7 o'clock. I had a whole show on that, but the Ogletree died, and I kind of had to switch. I'll talk next week about it some more. Okay, Lisa?
Okay
y'all. Lord have mercy. I got to go, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690, VL number 7735916690. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. Can I go back out a little bit more with that? 775-91-69. We're streaming live at www.reviewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us over. You go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. You can get us on Blog Talk. I'm trying to hold it together, y'all. But I'm losing too many buddies, you know? I almost didn't come in this morning because it got me. I'm going to miss him.
Time is going to be hard.
How many minutes? Can I get about 30 seconds of that? I got to take a break, y'all. I'm going to miss him. That's one of them warriors. I'm not talking about Ogletree did stuff free. He didn't even get no money. I didn't pay Ogletree to come to fight for reparation and to fight the other stuff. The Tulsa people didn't pay him. He had a whole slew of lawyers he brought his students. That's what I'm talking about, a commitment. I can't keep missing all these buddies, y'all. I'm hurt. I'm coming back on the other side with Dennis. That's really was Ogletree's buddy. He was also one of my attorneys, Dennis Hill. He's in Mississippi, y'all, one of them strong fighters. Dennis is the one that started the fight for the farmers. He did fighting for people's land. He one of them folks fighting for black folks, much deeper than what Trump did. But he ain't getting paid. He's doing it because he loves black folks. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Come on back. Talk to me. I don't know how many more buddies I can miss. I'm thinking about my own mortality today, y'all. Because I just, hey, you do this and you go. But I'm a Christian. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. Get your coffee. Get your tea. I'll be back.
Really going to miss you. Everything about you, your smiling face. I know you want us all to be strong.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
She said her tenured position offer crumbled following backlash over her diversity and equity work. In a joint statement with McElroy, the university said it acknowledges that mistakes were made during the hiring process and for the way her employment application was handled. McElroy will continue in her role at the University of Texas at Austin.
A black venture capital firm is being sued by a conservative activist. Edward Bloom was a factor in the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to reject affirmative action in college admissions. Reuters reports American Alliance for Equal Rights, a nonprofit led by Bloom, alleges that the Fearless Fund is practicing unlawful racial discrimination by violating the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which bars racial bias in private contracts by making only black women eligible in a grant competition. Filed in Atlanta, Georgia, the lawsuit questions Fearless Fund's Fearless Drivers Grant Contract, which awards black female entrepreneurs $20,000 in grants.
The National Society of Black Engineers won't be holding its convention in Florida next year. Its 18,000 members and hundreds of chapters around the world were made aware of a Facebook post last month that the Society's 50th anniversary convention will be held in Atlanta, Georgia in March. This comes after America's oldest intercollegiate black fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha, also decided not to return to Florida for its biennial convention. The fraternity accuses Governor Ron DeSantis' office of racist and insensitive policies against the black community, stemming from the Board of Education's approval of a new black history curriculum that critics say inaccurately frames the slavery era.
All right, and finally, while the difference between a CEO salary and their typical employees has always been broad, AI is already threatening to make that gap even more substantial. A new report from the AFL-CIO shows the average CEO salary at S&P 500 companies last year was $16.7 million. Now, that's the second highest level of executive pay ever. It dropped last year compared to the previous one, but not as much as stock prices fell. The S&P 500 fell by more than 18% last year versus a decline of just 9% for the average CEO's pay package. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24-7 News, the Black Information Network.
It's the 94th Annual Bud Billiken Parade, kicking off at 41st and King Drive to Washington Park on Saturday, August 12th, beginning at 10 a.m. It's the largest black parade in the nation, inspired by the Chicago Defender Charities.
Chicago's summer festival season peaks Labor Day weekend at the 34th Annual African Festival of the Arts, September 1st through the 4th in Washington Park. This year, WVON returns to the African Fest on September 1st for WVON's Free Fest Friday. It's going to be so big, you'll need to take the day off. We're taking over the main stage with a lineup you don't want to miss. WVON's Free Fest Friday kicks off the African Festival of the Arts September 1st, and we'll be at it all weekend long. It's art, it's food, it's family, and it's fun. Keep listening for more details. WVON's Free Fest Friday is about the culture, and it's brought to you by D-Case.
For African Fest vendor opportunities, visit AIHUSA.org. Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
WVON listeners, we have saved African Americans $212,239,634, helping them understand these overpayments, and we're still sitting on $79 million worth, and exemptions, we're still sitting on $38 million worth. So come on in.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter, Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense. So bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
It's the 28th year of the Black Women's Expo, and it's bigger and better than ever. Coming to McCormick Place August 4th through the 6th, see Iyanla Van Zant, gospel great Kurt Carr, Chicago hip-hop artist Twista and Shauna, and R&B neo-soul legend Music Soul Child. The Black Women's Expo is tackling issues that matter to our community, showcasing our businesses, and celebrating the impact of black women all over the world. Come shop, eat, get inspired, and celebrate the Black Women's Expo August 4th through the 6th at McCormick Place. Get your tickets now at all Walgreens stores or go to BWENext.com for more information. It's a celebration of our strength, our success, and our sisterhood.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
WBUN listeners, we have saved African Americans $212,239,634, helping them understand these overpayments, and we're still sitting on $79 million worth, and exemptions, we're still sitting on $38 million worth. So come on in.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter, Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
WBON 1450. Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WBON Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. He said, I don't mind. I tell you, I'm not going to prolong this because I got to bring on a tree. We're not going to do a black thing. I don't mind, but Dr. King did say it. We're going to bring Dr. King on his speech. But I don't mind, he said, but I've been to the mountain. He said, we have some difficult days ahead, and we're having that. And we're going to talk about that at another time. It's 7 o'clock hour, WVON 69, WVON, our number 7735-9169. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com, on iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. We're on Facebook. You can get us on. You can get us also on Blog Talk if you miss us. I'm going to pull up my friend, my attorney, who I love dearly, who really was in, who loved Ogletree. And I'm going to bring him up in a minute. But I want to play this. I'm going to still play part of my stuff, Dr. King's thing, and then I'm going to meet you, my buddy. Then I'm going to bring up him, but let him be in. Put him in. He in? Lock him in. Okay, go on. Dr. King.
I come here tonight and plead.
I kind of switched my show around a little bit today, y'all.
Believe in yourself.
I don't hear it.
Believe that you're somebody.
I can't hear.
As I said to a group last night,
I can't hear.
Nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian civil rights bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
That's right. That was over to y'all.
Don't let anybody take your manhood.
Yeah, somebody trial here trying to compare him to Crump. He wasn't no Crump. He was much deeper than that.
Somebody
he gave his
said
time.
Earlier tonight,
yeah.
We don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language.
Yeah.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha.
And that's why these ceremonial Negroes always run to the white folks.
But I want to get the language right tonight.
I tell you, oh, you had the language right. Hey, hey.
Woo! I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful, y'all. I skipped some of my stuff today because I'm trying to say, I know y'all, I had to play that, I couldn't skip that though, I got to, because I had to bring in my good buddy, my attorney, one of them, attorney for me, Dennis Sweet, attorney. I met him through Ogletree. Ogletree sent him to me when they tried to put me in jail in Alabama. But this man got a great history. I know you own, Dennis. I'm going to bring you after I play a little of that. That's all I've been playing all day. This from me and you for Ogletree. You like this song? I can't hear him.
Me?
Just
yeah,
listen. I'm playing that song and then I'm going to bring you in. Because that's how we feel about it. I'm just crying. I can't take too much of this stuff, boy.
I'll miss you, my buddy.
That's the third person I love. You like that song, oh? I'm playing that for you, Dennis.
Yeah?
Yeah. Before I bring you up.
I'm sitting down here in Mississippi. I hear this song, Mama.
Yeah. I'm playing this song for you because I know that was your buddy.
Yes, he was.
We'll bring you.
Oh, he's my mentor. He helped me in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, when this song,
you know, I got under attack down here in Mississippi. I mean, really under attack.
I know. We're going to talk about it in a second. I'm going to bring you. I want you. I just played that song because I know how you feel.
Yeah.
At least you got a chance to see him last week. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Like that Smokey Robinson in case your wife want to pull it down for you. Woo!
Well, I'm in a different location than her. I'm here with my friend.
Okay.
We came down to, you know, we used to fish down here at this farm all the time.
I know. You going to miss your brother?
He come to Mississippi and we go fish these lakes, ponds together.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring you in. Bring you in as soon as the sun go off. Because he was both our buddies. I'm going to bring you right in. Yeah. We're going to start talking. Yeah.
Singing you a brand new song. I'll miss you, my buddy. I'll miss you, my friend. I promise my love for you will never end. I'll miss you, my buddy.
We're going to miss them, Tree. And we're going to miss Tree Sweet. You know we're going to miss him. I want everybody to know this is Attorney Dennis Sweet from Mississippi, one of the greatest attorneys there is, a man that you don't even know that much about the, up here. Y'all, I had him on my show several times, but this man have done so much for black folks, a lot of stuff. Even now, he's somewhere fishing, thinking, Lord have mercy, I got a call that he have done so much for black people. You know, that's one of, Dennis is one of those people that fight so hard for black folks you don't know about. He done fought for folks in all kind of ways, for their land, trying to save their land and everything. But I just wanted to bring you on this morning, and I want to talk about our buddy Ogletree, because he was a great man. I met you, Dennis, because they locked my butt up in jail in Montgomery because I was spying on my auntie. And Tree told you, Tree said, Dennis, get down there and help her.
What was really something about all that, Dorothy? You know, I was the first African-American lawyer at the Southern Poverty Law Center with Morris Dees.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Morris and I got at it, and I left. And, you know, ultimately, you heard everything about Morris and, you know, mm-hmm. how he was.
And it ain't nothing like what you thought about it that it was going to be. It's all the way somewhere else.
No, you know, you remember, and so I had been in Montgomery. I hadn't even been back in Montgomery after I left with Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris.
Uh-huh.
So Tree called me up and said, look, you got to go over to Montgomery. I said, what, Tree? He said, I got Georgia Tim went over and fighting. I said, I thought she was in Chicago. He said, no, she put that fight on the road. You need to go over there and get her. I said, man. He said, no, she stepped out of Chicago, and they went in. He said, Dennis, you go get her. I said, okay, Tree.
And you did a good job. I tell you, that's the kind of person we talk about, right? He didn't play.
Right.
I was telling them how hard he fought for the Tulsa people.
Oh my goodness!
And
you
how
know,
go on.
I tell you, I'm gonna tell you something. He fought for Tulsa. Most people don't know he was in the Black Farmers case.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know the history of the Black Farmers case.
Yeah, I want you to tell folks who understand you were the one that started that case with the Black Farmers. You can tell them about it and tell Ogletree role in it. Go on.
Okay, Al Pyrie, it was a guy, Myrick, that filed a Black Farmers case out of Texas, and it was thrown out. And then it was refiled by Pyrie's. It was a Judge Freeman, who mm-hmm. was a great judge. So I intervened on behalf of Black Farmers also. And so Pyrie's and I were lead counsel. Well, I went and got J.L. Chestnut. I brought Chestnut in
mm-hmm.
because I wanted the civil rights people to be in. It was the Black Farmers case. Mm-hmm. You know, Megan Edwards had... is one of his things, the Black Farmers. The Black Farmers issue has been an issue.
You're right.
So we got it to a forum, and we fought it, and we started negotiating. And I called Tree, and I said, Tree, everybody ain't what I thought. I mean, they talking about a lot of money for everybody, but we're going to lose the Black Farmers. I think we need to do more. So he came in with me
mm-hmm.
and his appearance, and we started negotiating at the table. And when they left, it was just a money negotiation. And Ogletree told him, he said, money won't stop this. We got to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Tree and I left, and we came back, and they did the Black Farmers settlement. You seen the Morgan.
Yeah, I remember how upset you was because both of y'all were saying it was deeper than just the money. The Black Farmers were about a lot of stuff. I remember that.
Oh, he was talking about, let's do the HBCUs. All the A&M schools need money. We need to put aside land. Well, Tree came in with a whole idea, he and I together, but we got voted down, so he told me, excuse me, I miss my friend. He told me
I know it.
I want you to withdraw from the Black Farmer. I don't want you to be part of this settlement. Mm-hmm. I said, Tree, what about all these fees money I put in? He said, money and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, settlement's going to destroy Black Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't think it's going to be the best. So I don't want you to be part of your legacy. I want you out. So I said, okay, Tree, I withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing that case. I think Black Farmers were 6-7% of farmers in the United States,
mm-hmm.
today is 1.4%.
My goodness.
Yeah, look at people doing history, and they really, the one thing about it, he loves you so because you're true to history, you're true to black folks, no matter what. He loved you, and he was, you know, going to look out for you.
Yeah.
I was one of the soldiers. Mm-hmm. He told me to go get you. I mean, that's what I did. He was
he loved you too, Dennis.
I can't tell you all the cases he, you know, we had those two civil rights, two kids who were killed down here in Mississippi, Dean and his brother over in southeast Mississippi. They put them in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret Burnham had the case, and she wanted to file it in Mississippi. You know, the statute had run, on all these civil rights cases, you run into the statute, and that's mm-hmm. what we were running against in the Tulsa cases.
Mm-hmm.
But we were over through Tree's help, and he got me in, and we did it. We were able to overcome the statute of limitations in that 1960s killing and pursue justice for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Tree. You know, we did those cases. So, you know, he just stayed and kept his hands and
Yeah, you know.
He did with me. I by no means did I do everything. I did very.
No, you did. No. Folks don't know how great you are, Dennis. You can top that stuff. But like you say, he was your mentor, and you was in the spirit of him. How many people you fought to try to keep their land? How many you called me? He said, Dorothy, they just arrested this boy for stealing a bologna sandwich. You remember you called and told me that? You said, I can't have this shit, this stuff. You remember that when they and like one man called on you. We still got brothers out here fighting. We got Crump. They really don't understand. It's two different ways. Overtree gave it. You cannot compare the two. Now, I was in Tulsa.
No, you can't compare. You can't compare anybody. Tree is Tree. I met him as a public defender. You're talking about a guy who had a Harvard Law degree that everybody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He could have got a major, you know, he's from California.
Yeah.
He read his history.
By way of Alabama.
He said he was on the wrong side of the track. He didn't have no money growing up. He ended up going to Stanford and Harvard. Mm-hmm. And he could have had tons of money, but he opted to become a public defender in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met him. I became a public defender in D.C. And he won most of his cases. Whenever he had a trial, the courthouse came. They tried to fit in and watch him. Mm-hmm. Because most likely he was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I started trying cases there with him. Great name, Michelle Roberts. You know, she's a black female.
Yeah.
Became president of the National Basketball
Hall. Michelle was working on the Tulsa case, and she came.
Michelle was on the Tulsa case with us. You know, he had Willie Gary, he had Johnny Cochran, he had Michelle, he had me.
Yeah.
Oh, he went and got us all. He said, y'all come on in, we're going to do this Tulsa case.
Uh-huh. We was in Tulsa at the hearing, speaking of time.
Right.
Remember, the judge said that the statute of limitations ran out, they should have filed after the Civil Rights Movement passed.
Right.
And then they used John Hope Franklin's book to show how great the black folks had done since Tulsa.
Right. What they were trying to say, you know, also is that the courthouse wasn't closed to them. That's ridiculous. You know, they just got to I know, but Tree.
Yeah.
Well, we had survivors then. We had actual survivors we were representing.
Right.
Of the Tulsa race riots,
mm-hmm.
and the Black Wall Street,
only three of them I think is living now. I was looking at my book where I had all the survivors here in Chicago with Tree. I think I'm gonna put it up, but I might see you on the book. But only three of them are living now, and that's what I said. When I said these ceremonial Negroes, Dennis, they all ceremonial. I can't hardly wait to see the ceremonies when we and I, from all these so-called legislators and other folks, we went to Washington to try to get their help. Yeah, they listened to us, but they didn't fight hard for the Tulsa, but they can talk Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street. I was up there with Tree when we was trying to get help. They didn't help, Dennis.
I know. Mm. I mean, that's what you have to understand, Dorothy, who he was. All the popular causes and people you see him now. Okay, so you've got people. It's not hard to get people to do that. It's on TV. Oh, it's this, it's
mm-hmm.
that. He knew all the causes that took litigation that you just didn't see every day.
Right.
You know, people weren't running to cover all that. I'm not knocking that. I think the coverage and it all was good, but you have to understand who he is and who he was.
The man, go on.
The fact that the camera was going to be there didn't matter to him. If it was wrong, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a litigator. But, I mean, I just told you two or three things he did with me that were monumental. He was in the Black Farmers case. Everybody talking about the Black Farmer, old Pickford. It was the Pickford case we were in.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And the reason you don't hear us is he grabbed me and said, come on here. I said, huh? I said, we had to work on this tree. I got this funny expense in it. He said, come on here, boy. Come on. You don't need your name tied to this.
No. See, but he was looking out for you. But that was true. Yep. That was him.
That was true.
If he was with you and he worked, he didn't. See, the man didn't sell out. He wasn't no being there because he didn't sell out. When he came to Chicago, when I was fighting for the reparation to pass that ordinance that we passed, he didn't ask for no money. He came in here. He worked with me. When I was set up at that in with the corporation council people up there fighting, saying, no, we're going to do this. When we was fighting J.P. Morgan Chase, I'm not giving them nothing. Tree was right there. And, in fact, J.P. Morgan sent Bill Dale in here to try to – he was sitting there with me. He said, Tree told me, say, he said, they sending Dale in on you. They got J.P. Morgan to hire Dale. I said, so what? Well, I don't know what they're up to. So we said it to me. You're going to laugh about this. So Daly said, I want to know from your client what she want to do. Oh, she said, she speaks for herself. Speak. Say, what you going to do? Because he knew what I was going to say, did he? I said, tell him to follow the law.
So, yeah.
And then, listen, you're going to love this because you know the typical tree. So then J.P. Morgan Chase came back saying, we got $10 million. For Xavier. And I said, Tree, they got $10 million. We're going to let them give it to him. He said, yeah, let them give him the money. And then we're going to make them follow the law. I said, I ain't say nothing. So they sent Xavier $10 million. They came back and said, we gave Xavier. I said, fine, follow the law. And they were scared because we had just taken billions of dollars from JP, from the Lehman Brothers. And that's why I love Tree, because he gave me strength. He didn't ask for no money. Can I get this? Can I get that? He didn't ask. He came in because it was a cause for black folks. He fought for the Tulsa because it was a cause for black people.
Yeah, me flying to D.C. on the Reparations Steering Committee. You remember?
yeah.
It was me, him, Randall Robinson.
Uh-huh.
What's the comedian from Princeton. You know what I'm talking about. The wild hat. What's his name?
Ajawa. Is it Ajawa?
Ajawa was there, but I'm talking about the guy.
You talking about crazy running for president right now.
Right.
He was there. I don't mean crazy, literally. Johnny, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. He had Johnny Cochran there. He had Willie Gary there. And, you know, we flew in to debate reparations in the United States. That was another cause of his. Mm. And so, the Tulsa kind of grew out of that. And black bomb. You know, his view was we could start doing these things, all these big wrongs, one at a time to redo them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Ajawa's, her big thing was reparations for the country, period.
Right.
Go get it. So it was some real, I don't know if they got a recorder. Randall Robinson was in. It was some real heavy debate there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel small compared to those giants.
No, you were never small. You were a giant, too. Everybody, you was a giant. That's you saying that.
But it was something to hear all the debate going on about reparations. And the Reparations Steering Committee, yep. And, you know, Tree was always, you remember when people don't realize when Jesse Jackson ran for office, he had such a huge impact because he registered so many black folks to vote.
Run, Jesse, run.
And they were registered. I mean, over in the I'm going to call some name, over in the Black Belt of Alabama.
Yeah.
You had Spiva Gore. You remember Spiva?
Yeah, remember Spiva. Yeah, yes, Lord.
You know, I'm just talking, you know. And they got all those black folks, remember, and they voted all these people out of office in the Black Belt because there was so many people registered to vote.
Yeah, you know, I tell people, you go down south, we put more black folks in office in the South than anywhere else.
Well, Mississippi has most elected officials, and it's something I don't go to that. Well, you know, Jeff Sessions indicted Spiva and all those people.
Uh-huh. Yes, he did. Tell that history. Yeah, I forgot about that.
People talk about the Turner. People talk about Turner and he get up.
Abba Turner, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, you know, J.L. Chestnut represented him, and then I came in. I was, oh, God, I might have been 29 or 30.
Uh-huh.
And, Bobby Nell Simpson, she was a white woman who went through and notarized all those ballots. You know, it was absentee ballots.
Uh-huh.
And Sessions' reaction was he indicted. He was a U.S. attorney back then, remember?
My God, you bring so much history.
He had excited all those black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was with Morris D's then. I said, I want to go represent them. So they gave me Bobby Neal Simpson. And, oh, I can't even think of all the lawyers that came in. But all them Figures boys, Michael Figures, remember him? He was elected down in Alabama.
Yeah, you giving the history.
And, we went and tried those cases. I tried Bobby Neal Simpson twice in Birmingham. Judge Acker, boy, he gave me a hard time. I was with me and Rose Sanders the first try. And
she was on my show last week talking about what the black farmers are getting. But go on, we'll talk about that later.
Rose coming to me one day. She said, I'm going to tell you about the black farmers. I said, Rose, I put y'all in the black farmers case.
Oh, wait, I remember one day when three of us was together talking, and you said, Doctor, let me tell you something. Rose, I put you in the black farmers. She said, oh, yeah, you did. She had to agree to that.
I did. I went and got JL, and then JL didn't stick with me like I thought they would, but I went and got Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a landmark. But anyway, when I called up Tree and I said, Tree, I'm down here in Birmingham. He said, yeah. I said, I'm going to try this historic case of Bobby Neal Simpson. And he said, it's going to go down in history, what they've done over here. And I got to try her case. He said, well, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm just a little nervous. He said, what you nervous about? Many cases you try? I was on the phone. And I did my opening statement, and, you know, they got that falcon on the hill up in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tree told me, he said, start your opening statement about the falcon on the hill, whatever it is. Vulcan on the mountain. So I started my opening statement. I said, Bobby Neal Simpson will usually come here. And this came straight from Tree. This is my opening statement in that case.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Neal Simpson will usually come to Birmingham to see the Vulcan on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought her up here. The face charges that she was a boat merchant. That was about Tree and I stayed on the phone that evening, that night, writing that opening statement for her. And first time I tried it, got a hung jury, and I told Tree, I said something about the Vulcan. He said, well, yeah, let's tweak it, baby.
You know, this man was something.
Next time,
I'm listening to you, enjoying this. Uh-huh.
Huh?
I'm just enjoying it. I'm laughing with you, that's all. He said, tweak it, baby.
Yeah, So I tweaked it, and we came back, and she was acquitted. So he went through, I did a lot, you know, I'm in Mississippi, but I did a lot of work with the public defender in D.C. and then the Southern Poverty Law Center and stuff like that. You know, I was worked on that case where that little boy got lynched in Mobile, Morris.
Uh-huh.
They did a move, you know, of course, I was one of the lawyers that filed it, and I worked on it, but when they did the movie, you know, they don't put us.
No, not the real people. They got, what, you might tell you about them ceremonial Negroes?
What you talking about ceremonial Negroes?
You know, they put them ceremonial Negroes that don't do nothing, just cut ribbons and be ceremony and jump in. They jump in and get in documentaries and stuff and ain't did nothing. That's what I love about you, Entry. You're not ceremonial Negroes. You know what I mean.
You know. But, Dorothy, I did some cases and made some money. I did them fin-fin and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Tree told me.
They wouldn't even have a congressman in Mississippi if it wasn't for you. He don't seem to realize that, but I know how you how you helped get Benny Thompson in office.
I can't take credit. I can't take credit. I can't take any credit for Benny. Benny. You know, he.
I know. I know you
I can't take no credit for Ben. Don't give me that now.
I'm gonna give you credit. He just got up there and did what are you supposed to do? You just don't worry. You sit down in Mississippi. I remember you call. We talk about a lot of different things, and I know how you sat there. You did not leave, and how you worked to try to save folks their land and try to help folks who didn't even have nothing. I'm talking about lawyers like you and Ogletree who when you came to Montgomery, you said, Dorothy, how much money you got? You said, girl, come here. Tree told me to see about you. Now, you know, that's why I said that you and Tree and all these people are rare because y'all fought. You gave back. I remember Tree told me, say, because somebody took him. I know kind of his history. I know you do, too. But he told me about why he worried. Somebody grabbed him, took him, and how them folks took him and helped God put him on clothes and got him through. And he told me one of the greatest things when his father saw him at the Supreme Court. I know all about his dad and stuff and his mom. He said they moved around and things. That's why you take time to work with people. But listen, he came to Montgomery. He came in. He said, Tillman. I said, what? Let's go. Let's hear some blues music. I said, Trey, I'm going home and go to bed. He said, I told you, girl. I said, I'm not taking your Harvard butt to no done blues place. He said, I'm going. I said, okay, how you grew up? You don't know Chicago. He said, let me tell you something. I put hot sauce on a rattlesnake and eat that sucker. That's what he said. He ever tell you about putting hot sauce on a rattlesnake?
He didn't tell me that was that.
I said, well, let's go. And then we
go. You know, people don't really, how we became close. When I was at the Public Defender Service, I had a little Chevette.
Mm-hmm.
And the rods are real hot, probably were barely could fit in it. You know, I had to lay them across the middle of the clothes and bend at the end. And my car was out back and Tree walked back there. And I didn't know him like that. I was just been hired. You know, mm-hmm. I was my new job. He said, you pitch. I said, yeah, I fish. He said, me too. And we fished. Dirty, we fished and we fished for years, all over.
I know he would always go to Mississippi. I said, where's Tree Pam? Oh, he down in Mississippi with Dennis. Y'all went in the woods.
But, hey, you heard about the story. People could listen to it. He was on PBS when we almost died out there in Martha's Vineyard. You know about that, right?
No.
If you listen, if you pull up on, go to the Moth, and it's a guy, Buddy Vanderhoop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Dead in the Water.
Oh, my God.
And so what they have is they have a storytelling, mm-hmm. and they invited Buddy up to tell stories of the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is stories about how we survived a catastrophe in Martha's Vineyard fishing. It's interesting. But all you have to do is go to the Moth and PBS, and you'll hear about that fishing trip of ours.
What happened?
We were out. They called me up one day, Buddy. You know, Martha's Vineyard has a large American Indian population. You know, Tree was on the vineyard all the time.
Yeah.
So they called me, and they said, man, the tuna are close. I said, huh? They said, the tuna usually, they close. Fly up. So I finished what I had to do, got a flight that evening, flew up, got over to Martha's Vineyard. That morning went out, and we wore the tuna out. I mean, we caught tuna. We went to leave, and they put the boat in gear. It died.
Mm.
And so Buddy had us out there. I think we were out there 36 hours.
Oh, God.
In a storm with 20-foot seas. The Coast Guard wouldn't come and get us. There was a lobster boat out. Everybody left. I guess everybody knew about the storm, but Buddy. And he left it. We stayed out there and fought that storm. We were out there a total 36 hours.
What's that? This sounds biblical to me. Where God said, peace be still. The God was out there. Hey, God's going to trouble the water. He said, hey, just be still. I'm here with you. That was
true. I promise you. Tree was out there. We're going to be all right. Just fight.
Yeah, he understood. But, you know, people don't know. He was a Christian, too. He was a very strong Christian. He believed very strongly in God. People don't know that.
Yeah, I think that was that. You know, of course not. I think I know. That's what motivated him. What was right and wrong?
Yeah,
he motivated him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You know, he came to me. I didn't look for him when he saw me fighting. When he saw me fighting at Lehman Brothers, and when I told him, and he kept reading, and then he saw me take that money from them. He said, "Shoot, find me Dorothy." He came. He said, "Look, I'm here to help." He said, you had enough nerve to take on the Lehman Brothers, and he didn't go. And I learned so much from him. But you know what people don't also, he would bring all his students in, too. His students that he taught at Harvard, he would make them come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Dorothy, when he had me come over to represent you, talking about, asked me about money. If I had taken some money, you know what he'd have done with me?
Well, he told me, you get on down there. I'm sending somebody. You're going to be all right. I said, he said, I'm sending somebody to you. And here comes this tall, handsome man showing up, Dorothy Tillman. I said, yes, me. Tree told me to represent you. I said, Lord have mercy. Mm-mm-mm. And did you represent? What did Joy say? They said that she had a gun in the city council. But you were pretty good, and I enjoyed you. Now, one more thing, I'm going to try to take a couple of calls because some folks is on the phone. You told me that one thing, I'm happy you got to do this, but I didn't, but you got a chance to at least go visit with him a few days before he left. You got a chance to visit with him. Am I correct?
Yeah, his wife. I was here.
Pam, great woman.
Yeah, you know, Pam and I close. And she called me last week and she said, well, I wanted to let you know they moved him to hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm not calling to tell you to fly up here from Mississippi. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
But I immediately changed my schedule and the Lord let me get up there to see him Thursday.
Yeah.
And I know he felt me because he opened his eyes and he had his eyes on, we said, the 2.5 hours. He made some sounds and she told me, she said, you know, he ain't had his eyes on 2.5 hours in a while.
Yeah.
That disease is just dementia. It's just Alzheimer's.
It's
devastating.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I would
take a break in mind like that. It's just door there.
Yeah, ravage him. You know, and something I wondered about that too. You know, I'm superstitious, paranoid, but I would call Pam, and she would put on the speakerphone, and she he'd try to talk back to me. She said, "He know your voice," and he would kind of talk back. But you know, I hadn't talked to her in a couple of months, and I really feel, ooh, you know, I called back a couple of months ago to about answer the phone, but I call her on her cell. But when I would call, he would respond. But, you know, we as Christians, and we know that Tree was a Christian, we know this is not the end, that his spirit belongs to God, and his spirit have not gone to God. And the best leaders that black folks have had is those who believed in God. But I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, Dennis. You might think not, but other people think so, and you've given a lot.
You know, if everybody, that family, Moshe, Rashida, his grandkids, his wife Pam, you know, they're great folks. I had the privilege to spend the time with them.
Yeah,
I think people should thank God for sending somebody like Tree, who did so much and helped so many.
Yeah.
And he was a true somebody you can look to and look up to. And it's really been different for me having him for the last years, not being able to talk to him, because I talked to him all the time as I was troubled. I had some troubles and issues. And I remember one time he told me, he said, man, I don't care what anybody say, what anybody do, I just love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, just for people, just to hear somebody tell you, I love you, helps push you through.
Yeah.
And he's always been there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like our relationship, that was a gift from him to me and you.
Yeah, I thank God.
We've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing. He sent me to meet you.
Well, you are a blessing to me, and I just thank God for you and praying for you and that you stay strong in your health.
I always think favorably about my trip to Montgomery. my uncle and folks in Chicago, I knew all about Dorothy Tillman. That trip to Chicago to come represent you is something to Montgomery to come represent you. It's something when I think of him, I think of you, I think of us up at the inauguration, Obama.
Oh, God, that inauguration, it was something, wasn't it? I won't even get into that. It probably will blow. The real story will probably, the real story probably will blow the audience's mind.
No.
We told them the truth about all this stuff that happened. It would just blow their mind. But that was really something. But you know what was so deep is that remember we took Vernon Foster to go to get a suit.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that was the time. We took Vernon, the boxer, to get him a suit to him.
Yeah, Vernon Foster. You know, he helped get Al Haymon started, remember?
Yeah. But you know, they buried him in that suit that we bought in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, I went to his funeral.
I didn't go to funeral. I didn't know that. Yeah, he was in Atlanta.
When I was looking at Vernon laying up in that coffin, they shed the whole body. But you remember, you helped him pick his suit and his shoes, and he was so excited. He was just excited. He was just so excited.
He was excited about meeting you. It was Tree, you, the Obama experience. He was just so excited.
And you said, go on.
Well,
go on, Dennis. I'm listening.
No, he was excited. I remember that. When I look at inauguration, I was with Dorothy Tillman, Ernest Forrester,
but
the whole crew came up.
But you selected the suit. You we know Oh, whatever that place
we
went to.
I didn't know they buried him in that suit.
I want to tell you, you got that suit and that shirt, and he was just, you couldn't tell him nothing. Because
no, you couldn't tell him nothing.
Yeah, when I was,
you know, you sit there, and I didn't know, man, he was taken by gun violence not long after that.
Not long after that. Sure was. And you know what was sad? When Vernon, he stayed in, he couldn't get a place in D.C., so we let him come to me and my daughter's room. He would have,
right.
But Vernon said he was hurt, though. We have to tell the truth. He said all the money that he got the sports people to raise for Obama, have raised money before anybody knew it. All he asked for was a ticket, not to be in the special place, but a ticket
right.
for his mama. And they turned him down. He was hurt about that. And
man, you forgot, Georgia. You telling me, I forgot about that.
I ain't forgot that because I had to get a lot of tickets for a lot of y'all.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I got some great tickets. Come on, we going to go together.
Told me to fly. My wife there and my butt there. Remember, I flew there and then. That person wouldn't answer the phone?
Yeah, I ain't going to call his name. I said, don't worry about him. Forget all of them. They full of it. That's them ceremonial niggas I'm telling you about. So
oh, yeah.
I said, Vernon. I said, Vernon. But you know what I remember about Vernon the most, Tree, is when we, I mean, Tree, God, Lord have mercy. Dennis, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dennis, when we was,
No, that means he's speaking to you this morning. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, God. But when he ran in there, we was walking so slow. I said, Vernon, just go on. We was going to the homestead ball. I said, gone, Vernon. He said, oh, for real? He took off and he ran in there. And the greatest thing in this was to sit there with his eyes wide open to watch Michelle and Obama dance. And when
oh, God. Who was the ball? It was one of the ball players there. I remember seeing all
that. It was a bunch of us there. We had a good time and a lot of talking, and we can't even tell the people over there. A lot of stuff wasn't right. We can't talk about all this. That would blow people's mind.
You know, about picking the suit for Vernon Forrest, man. But I remember when he North.
But no, you showed him. You said, man, you showed him what shirt to get, what the suit to get, down to the shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, they buried him in there. I thought about you. I went to his funeral, and I was sitting there hurt so bad, because he used to be my daughter's client. Remember, he was one of my daughter clients. And I went with her, and so. I looked at him, and I'm looking at that suit, Dennis. If I didn't think about you, I said, Dennis picked this suit out for this man. They buried him in the suit that you picked out for him. I want you to know that. Wasn't that something?
Yeah. Well, God bless me to be around a lot of people like you. But tell you what, he let me have a friend like Overtree.
Yeah.
And,
what a friend. I'm going to take one call. I'm going to go out with, have you ever lost a friend, okay? But anyway, don't go nowhere. I'm going to take this one person been waiting all morning before we go.
Okay.
And anybody else, no more calls, y'all. Sorry, Plump, y'all. I'm going to take to try to get these two calls out the way. And that first, Plump, you got 30 seconds now. Don't talk too long. What's your question? Plump?
Well, God bless your heart. My question is, would you be with us this morning with the senior citizens?
No, Plump, I can't talk about that right now. I'm dealing with this. I'm sorry.
Well,
my
condolences goes out to the Vernon Overtree family.
Thank you so much. Thanks. I got to go. Okay, now.
Yes, ma'am. God bless your heart.
God, release that. You
keep
got it locked in.
Work.
Okay, thank you. Got it locked in for some reason. Why you got that call locked in? Okay. Diane.
Hello, can you?
Diane. Okay, I guess he's gone. I'm sorry, Diane. Okay, look, you need to sum this up for us, and I got a song that I'm going to go out with. Have you ever lost a friend? You want to sum us up a little bit, and I'm going to call you later on and see what's going on. You take care of yourself, Dennis.
I will.
I mean that. I know what you told me last night, but you take care of yourself because you got work to do. We love you, and I want you to know, I'm saying over the air how much on behalf of black people that we love you. And as Christians, we know that... you know, we love you. I just want you to know that.
Man, it's not about me. Here's a white life well lived, and a lot of people have been impacted by him and been knowing him. And I think he should stay on people's mind. Everybody say a prayer.
Yeah.
And then pray for black people. Somebody comes along like him.
Right. It had to be God. It was God that blessed him, put his hands on him.
Yeah.
People have to understand there was a Christian. He believed in God very strongly. Folks don't even understand that.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
felt God was guiding him.
Well, you made me travel through history this morning, Dorothy. So.
Well, I got to say one more thing. One of the greatest things, time he had when he took the survivors to Martha Vineyard.
Yes.
You remember he took
He really was. He got us all involved in that Tulsa case.
But he took he took them to Martha Vineyard. That's what the kind of man he was. He took the survivors to Martha Vineyard. And there was
He went to the world court. He did all kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got that lawsuit. You got a copy of who he went to The Hague on behalf of Tulsa to the world court. You got a copy of that lawsuit, right?
I got a copy. Let me tell you, I was going through my.
I got a copy. I was looking for it last night, but I got to go to my.
Send me a copy.
I was in my office downstairs. Couldn't find it. I got to go upstairs. I'm going to find it. I'll send you a copy. I'll try to get one to you next week.
I got an original. I was going through my old files, and I pulled out an original lawsuit signed by us all, along with photo where they put it out, me, Michelle, Willie, Tree, all of us. And my son saw it. He said, Daddy, I didn't know you were in that Tulsa case. I said, here it is. Here it is, then.
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of that, and this is the song I'm going to go out on because it's almost time for me to go. I want to play this one last song before I go, and I want you to have you ever lost a friend, and this is for me and you. And all the folks who love Tree. And this is Charles Bevel, Jim Bevel's young brother.
Yeah.
It's folk music. It's called Have You Ever Lost a Friend? And this is to all of the people who I want you to hear this. What'd you say?
I'm gonna send you some music from my friend that.
Okay, I'm gonna call you. Don't go to it. This is a song for you and all the people who are listening throughout this country because I got a nationwide show.
Okay.
And this is for all those who loved Ogletree. So just listen to the song, then I'll come back in and say goodbye, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
No, never again. Yeah. You can't have them back again. No, 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 never again. Yeah.
Hello?
I'm here with the song. I'm going to come. I'm just singing. Hey, this is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
This is to you, and I want you to feel it. Okay. I love you, and I'm going to call you later.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Love you. Take care of yourself.
I will.
I love you. Okay. Hang up him. See you later. I'll call you. If I love someone, have you ever lost a friend and can't have them back again? Yeah, Lordy. Then you understand the home. Woo! Y'all just don't know. He won the ceremony of Negro. Yeah.
And other stuff.
Yeah.
Rich or poor, right or wrong.
I'll go out with Bridge Over Troubled Water. Get the music out the way. Bridge Over Troubled Water.
One day you will sing this song.
How many minutes more on that song? So I should just go out with this? Okay.
Hey!
Hey, you ever lost someone? I'm losing too many, y'all. I tell you, my heart. Have you ever lost a friend and can't have them back again? Hey, No, 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 never again. Trees was good, y'all. Y'all just don't know. I thank Dennis Sweet for coming on with me this morning, because he's under the weather too, but he's doing all right. Talked to him last night. He was a little upset, I know. He just sat with Tree for hours holding his hand. Pam and the children, we sent our blessings out to her. Pam was a great woman. She was with the Black Social Workers working on behalf of children, the National Black Social Workers. Pam was a great woman, and she took care of Ogletree all through his illness. Pam, I love you. I'm going to call you later. I know she's not listening, but somebody who listens, tell her. I love someone. Have you ever lost a friend and can't have them back again? No, 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 never again. Have them back again. No, no, never again. Can't have them back again. Oh, my God. Tree. Woo, I don't know how many more of these I can take, y'all. It makes me think of my own mortality. I'm not going on reparation today. I should, in the spirit of Ogletree. In the spirit of Ogletree, who talking about the real reparation, repairing the damage, not this garbage. I'm in your spirit, reparations now. And by the way, he loved that song. When my son wrote that song, he's your son, something else. He loved that song when Vimmage wrote that song. And I gave it to Ogletree. My baby boy wrote that song. Yeah! And somehow my soul remains. Tell me, is it over now?
Horror and brutality in this slavery.
Vimmage Tim wrote this song for his mama, and I gave a copy to Ogletree.
What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction.
They cut children from
my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us.
Yeah!
To be a field hand by another white man.
Mr.
President, I'm here to represent for my and Mother Africa and the two raped and left behind.
Hey.
Draining her natural resources.
This is so good tree.
People pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave.
Vimmage love that song.
Chain, brought to a new world to maintain.
Is it over now? It ain't over, y'all. But we got to do it right. The white men got these Negroes on the wrong trip. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening.
But somehow my soul remains. But is it over?
Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
In Seattle and holding her captive in a makeshift cinder block cell, FBI special.